Welcome to all of you to worship here on Christmas Day. We celebrate our Lord's birthday this day with a series of hymns and a series of thoughts, as well as celebrating the Lord's Supper this day. So we begin our worship now with hymn number 362. And in our worship, we will also have the handbell choir. The handbell choir says no. let me see. It says welcome and opening hymn, but you guys want to do something first. Okay, so then will we have the opening hymn after you're done? Okay, all right. Let me start all over again. Really, really sorry. This is the first Christmas Day I've ever made a mistake. My family's here and they're going, yep. Every Christmas Day, they haven't made a mistake. Well, welcome to Emmanuel Sweet Springs for Christmas Day worship. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper this day and have a series of hymns and readings. We'll begin our worship with the handbell choir playing for us, and then we will have our opening hymn number 362. come to worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We confess our faith the same way that Mary did when she found out she was going to be the mother of the Savior. And as she found out she was going to give birth, she confessed to God that she, in her humbleness, wasn't worthy to be this, but by the grace of God, He had given her this great honor and great privilege. And she used some of the words of the Old Testament that they would have used to confess that they were sinners who didn't deserve God's love. And we use that same confession, that same prayer of Mary or song of Mary, as it's printed in your worship folder, to confess our humbleness to God and thank Him for His grace and His great love sent to us at Christmas. And so we stand as we confess our faith together in the words of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has regarded the lowliness of His handmaid. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, because He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has shown might with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has given help to Israel, His servant, mindful of His mercy, even as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His descendants forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament predicted the birth of the Savior in many places, especially in the book of the prophet Micah. Micah lived about 650 years before Jesus ever came, and he wrote these words in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from of old, from of ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Bethlehem, of course, is an important place in the Old Testament. It's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 35. Jacob's wife, Rachel, died giving birth to her second son, Benjamin. Her first son was Jacob, and his other name was Israel. She was buried in a place called Ephrathah, which, of course, Micah mentions as well. Ephrathah was the same place as Bethlehem. And there's a prophecy attached to her burial, which was known throughout all Jewish history, that one of her descendants would come and raise her from the dead. It would start there in Bethlehem. Later in history, one of these descendants married a girl named Ruth in the town of Bethlehem. And three generations later, Boaz and Ruth's great-grandson, David, was born, a shepherd of Bethlehem. This shepherd would become a king, and God would promise that from Bethlehem, another king would be born one day who would be even greater than David. The prophet Micah then summarized what the people of Israel knew many years ago, that by the promise of God, a Savior would be born in Bethlehem. This would be one of the signs that you would know He was the Savior, that He truthfully was God's Son, because He would be born in this little out-of-the-way town. Even though it was small and poor in the nation of Israel, he would be a ruler who would be assigned to be our king from ancient times, from eternity. And when he was born, he would grow up to become a shepherd to his people. And not just the people of Israel, but the people of the whole world. And he would have the strength and majesty of God himself. His greatness would be for the whole earth, and he would bring a peace that no one else could bring. We continue with our next hymn, hymn number 387. There are four gospel stories about Jesus' life that are in our Bible. The first of our New Testament ties Jesus to the promises of the Old Testament. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew begins with a genealogy, taking Jesus all the way back to Adam. The Christmas story that Matthew tells is a New Testament to the truth of who Jesus is because he fulfilled everything that God promised about him in the Old Testament. Matthew tells us this part of the story in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was the promise that came true. Fulfilled is the word that Matthew uses over and over again in his gospel. Completed. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. A promise that Isaiah made to a king long ago, when the king asked how would he know when the Savior would be born. Isaiah said, "One of the signs will be that a virgin will conceive and bear a son." God's life himself became a human life in Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit, says Matthew. He was the son of David, which was the Old Testament promised Savior over and over again. From the family line of David, born in the city that King David was from. The name Jesus means he will save people from their sins. The prophet Isaiah had told not only that Jesus would be born of a virgin, but that he would come and give his life for people. He would be God with us. The Hebrew word Emmanuel, the name of this church, is a Hebrew word that means God is with us. Jesus was God, he was born, and he is with us. We join together in singing hymn number 380. The second gospel in our New Testament doesn't even really have a Christmas story. It's not a story about Jesus' birth anyway. Mark's gospel is a short and to-the-point testimony of who Jesus was and who he is. And so Mark begins his account of Jesus' life in this way. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Jesus, a man named by his father and mother, a name which means the one who saves, Christ, the Old Testament term for the chosen one or the Messiah, chosen by God to make a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, eternally with his Father in heaven, God one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The birth we celebrate, Mark lets us know, is no less than the coming of God himself. The Old Testament prophets prepared the way for his coming, and when Jesus was born, it was the entrance of God himself into our world. We are truly celebrating the birthday of God into our world. We join together now in listening to the handbell choir play Away in a Manger. The third gospel writer, Luke, never met Jesus, but he knew his disciples, and that's how he became a Christian. And he met and talked with many people who were acquainted with Jesus and had known him in his life. Among those he met were people he wrote about. Mary, Jesus' mother, probably met the shepherds who once had seen angels in a field. And Luke was from the country of Syria. And he recalled the events of Jesus' birth and thought back to his own life when he was a citizen of the nation of Syria. The governor at that time would have been Cyrenius, and he would have known that. And most likely Luke was part of the census that was taken. And when he heard about the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem to be counted in that census or that taxing, he would have remembered that he had probably been taxed and counted also when he lived in Syria as part of the Roman world. And so we read his personal account in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register, and Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke was not of the house and the line of David. Luke was not even from Israel. He wasn't even a Jewish person. But Luke believed Jesus was his Lord, and he believed that Jesus had been born for all people, including himself, wherever they lived and wherever they had been from. When Jesus came, there was no room for them in the inn, he says. He had to be born in a stable. In a sense, Luke's entire gospel is devoted to making sure this did not happen again. He wanted to make sure that there was always room for Jesus wherever he went and whoever he was spoken of to. There should be room for Jesus everywhere in the world for all time. And there should be room for Jesus here, in our own hearts, in our own homes. He invites us into this place today and to you because he wants the love of God to be among and with you. And he invites us to be with him, both today and forever. We join together in singing the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 361. The fourth gospel of our Bible is from John, Jesus' disciple. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved, he is described as. And when he was very old, he was in prison for speaking about his allegiance to Jesus as his Lord. But God continued to speak through him, and he wrote about who Jesus was many years after the other gospels had been written. John was not interested in telling the story of Christmas again because by that time it was very familiar to people. People already knew that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, that there were shepherds and wise men and Mary and Joseph. But John wanted people to know who Jesus was. He already knew that there were people going around saying that Jesus really wasn't God who was born into the world, and he hadn't really died on the cross to forgive our sins, that he was just another man who was born. And so John tries to set the record straight from his eyewitness point of view, as well as his witness to who Jesus was and the fact that he had seen him risen from the dead. And so John begins his gospel describing who Jesus was both before and after he was born into this world. John writes, "Jesus came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize who he was. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural parents or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John the Baptist testifies about him. "He cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.'" The Word of God, the power and life and person of God the Son, becoming a flesh and blood human being. He lived among us. John recognized that throughout Jesus' life until he was crucified, John himself didn't fully understand who Jesus was, not until after he rose from the dead. When his friends and he saw the glory of Jesus in his resurrection, they recognized by faith now that he was the one and only God, himself come from the Father. He was grace, he was truth, and he was the love of God. How much God loved us was wrapped up in who Jesus was. And John describes it as grace upon grace, blessing after blessing. I always like that phrase because it's a little bit like opening Christmas presents. I know when children open them, sometimes they get to the end and they say, "Is that all there is?" Imagine opening Christmas presents and every single one is better than the other, and it goes on forever and ever. That's the description John has of the grace of God, the forgiveness of our sins bought and paid for on that cross, the eternal life of God given to us in Jesus' resurrection. John says no one has ever seen God, not in this life, but if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord, Jesus makes known who God is and how much he loves us, because he is God, the Word become a flesh and blood human being. Jesus was born, God became a human being, the greatest gift God could ever give to you and me. And we celebrate that gift regularly and often in this church by returning our offerings to him, and we do that now as we receive the offerings. We stand for prayer. Lord God and Father, you have given us the greatest gift you could ever give, the gift of your love wrapped up in the life of Jesus Christ, born to us at Christmas. This wonderful gift to us is a reminder to us that we have much to give to others, because when we have faith in you, we have a great gift of love to give. Help us to share that fervent love to one another, just as you have given us that gift at Christmas. And help us to understand what a wonderful blessing we have, grace upon grace, that is given to us each and every day, that we have been given a life with you because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Help us celebrate this day, not only at this time, but in the days to come and throughout our entire life, that we always understand that the gift you have given keeps on giving back to others, and that we are the blessings that you have given to the world because of our faith in who Jesus is. We thank you for this, and we ask you to help us celebrate now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming into our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood this day. Amen. You may be seated. Before the gospel writer John died, he left us with a written record of a vision that God gave him, a vision of the last days of this world and the first days of his eternal life in heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, the very last book of our Bible, he describes Jesus as he now sees him in his glory and majesty, the same Jesus who was born at Christmas. And as our last scripture on this day, listen to John describe the baby Jesus. The baby who grew up, who became a man, who sacrificed his life for us on a cross. The baby born in Bethlehem, who rose from the dead to announce to us that he had won a war for our soul and given us a new life. The baby who became the King and the Lord of all. So John writes about the love of God and how he came into the world at Christmas and what happened to that baby. John writes, I had a vision. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. The rider was called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like blazing fire. On his head were many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe that has been dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven follow him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword to strike down nations. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury and wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a description of the baby Jesus, who grew up to be our king, to fight a war for our souls. Don't be deceived, John is saying, by the smallness of the baby or the little town of Bethlehem. Don't see the crude stable and fail to see the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to judge the world. The crown on the man riding the mighty horse of battle is the God who loves us so very much that he became a baby for us. He has taken the anger of God and he crushed it in his death. He leaves us with his forgiveness and life, and we're washed clean in his blood and protected by his sword and fire for all eternity. What child is this? This is Christ the Lord, the King of Kings. May he bless you and keep you and shine his face on your life and give you peace. And we sing about this child. That's what the hymn is, hymn number 370. What child is this? This is Christ the Lord, the King of Kings, that John describes as the King that will rule forever and the God who loves us, who will live with forever. We join together in singing hymn number 370. We prepare ourselves now for coming to the Lord's Supper, and we stand as we now come to the body and blood of Jesus, the Word become flesh. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should at all times and places give thanks to you, Lord God, our King, the King of all creation. You have had mercy on those you have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may listen to the words of your Son and see the love that you have sent to us at Christmas, that it may firmly take to heart the words Christ gives us when he gave us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love made known to us, pouring out his precious blood. He saved us from the righteous wrath of God, from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, the body and blood, as a gift, a guarantee, and a pledge of the salvation of God. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples. He broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after the supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we join together in singing one of Martin Luther's Christmas hymns. He wrote hymn number 358 for children to teach them the Christmas story and what it meant. And we'll use that hymn as we now sing that together and remind ourselves of the Christmas story as God invites us to his table. You may be seated as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We stand for prayer. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, who was born for us at Christmas, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And go now with the good word of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And you may be seated for our closing hymn.